Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Nicholas King from WST. How are you, Nicholas?
I'm very well, sir. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm
You excellent. Sound as ebullient as ever.
Fantastic. What's the pass rate for the level two?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It's good. It's solid. This isn't an examination that's meant to be tricksy or difficult or kind of we want to fail lots of people. But the pass rate is solid and it is consistent.
Yeah. And would you say that most people who do the recommended study times are likely, if you're an average student, you do the recommended study times, you've got a fairly good chance.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. As long as you have a good engagement with the material. I mean, there's always going to be people who will struggle with any kind of studying.
Yeah.
I mean, if you put me in a maths class, I'm kind of generally all at sea. So, yeah, there's always going to be some people who will find it more challenging than others. But if you do that kind of recommended study time in the classroom and that little bit at home, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll pass quite comfortably. The pass mark's 55%, so it's not as if we're setting the bar at kind of an impossibly high level.
And it is a multi-choice exam.
Exactly. So yeah.
You can always, normally in a multi-choice, I always say, you know, there's normally one answer that's just wrong, and you know that, and then you've just got to guesstimate the rest. So,
and I mean, if you've got the skills, then you can, with multiple choice, you can reason your way to the correct answer. So, it's not, as I say, it's not an examination that's meant to be brutal or ridiculously challenging. It's meant to give a fair reflection of has someone reached the level of understanding and the level of understanding that is relevant for this level. And multiple choices is a good way of doing that.
Look, the course book is called Looking Behind the Label, and in the exam. We were talking earlier and you're saying that sometimes, you know, the type of exam questions you might see is maybe a label. What can you infer from that label? Is that a common type of question, or is that something that you would,
It's a format that has been used, and the examiners, to my understanding, do still use that. It's we have to have quite distinct separations within our company, because I work quite closely with the core content but also with the educational side, so I need to make sure that I can't get too involved in the examining side, because then you clearly have a conflict of interest. So those kind of questions I use, and I think that's very relevant. That style of question is very relevant for this qualification, where you're using labels as a jumping off point to get an understanding of wine and what wine's all about. So I would very much imagine that if you saw a question like that on exam paper, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very good way of assessing people's understanding.
I have seen exam questions, I don't know if it's level two or level three, where they have maps and things like that. Do you have to be good at geography for this course?
Not necessarily. In the sense that you need to know where places are, then yes. But no, I mean, geography isn't the kind of the be-all and the end-all, and neither is kind of the broader or more deeper concerns with things like topography and that comes in at the higher levels in three and four. So again, I'm not completely au fait with where the examiners are with all of this. In terms of identifying certain things, it's obviously a very important part in terms of how we present the materials, because obviously you can see where these regions are. It is a possibility that something like that might appear in a question, but I'm not completely at liberty to kind of, I don't know, and I don't set the exam. So
yeah. I suppose the reason I was asking that is because WST did provide an app which helps people learn where the regions are. It's an app where you sort of say,
the app.
Where is Rutherglen?
Yeah.
And then you've got to sort of pick where it is on a map from various options, and I find that quite a, I haven't played with it for a while, but when it first came out, I had a good old play with it, and I struggled a bit sometimes on some of the quizzes. You rattle through the first couple of levels, no problems, but then it drills in more and more and more and more and more, and that's quite a handy resource, maybe particularly for the level three, but also for level two.
I think you just have to be careful with that. I mean, that was designed as a as a fun and engaging way of just sort of getting people interested and sort of, as with all these things, kind of increasing awareness. But there are very specific requirements that are set out in the specification for what you need to know for level two. And it's always delightful when people explore and get excited by a subject, but there is the risk, if you were using that you confuse yourself in terms of what you think you need to know. Actually, that's very clearly laid out, and you need to make sure that, to a degree, you kind of keep yourself within those boundaries so that you don't end up getting confused. And the app certainly, in many of the kind of regions that it identifies, are just not in the level two spec. No. So they, if people want to play with it, I don't know, it's a great thing to play with. But yeah, it's not. I think it's something you would probably want to approach with caution if you're kind of trying. It doesn't map nicely onto
the levels,
the qualifications.
No, that's fine. You mentioned the specification though, and WC don't provide the specification to the students anymore in the pack that they get. I used to print it off for them and give it to them, because I actually think the specification is a really good way of making sure you understand the topics. You know, if you work your way through what the specification says you're supposed to know, and if you don't know it, then you hit the books and try and make sure you do know it. I put the specification on our website,
And that's very much on our website. And it was an interesting discussion that we had over whether we would stay printing or not. We were obviously very conscious of the fact that the workbook is bigger than it was, and obviously it weighs that bit more. So its functionality and the cost saving that potentially is represented by that, in terms of not having to then print out a whole load of PowerPoint presentations. We thought that was probably fair enough. With then adding extra weight in with the specification, we were kind of torn. So ultimately, we decided that it was having it online was the way to go. And the other thing you have to bear in mind is also that the materials are very, very straight. There's no kind of fat in them. There's no kind of leanness. It's kind of it does cover stuff very, very clearly. So whilst that said, we would certainly recommend that people make themselves, they download it, they make themselves aware of what's in the specification, and they do go through, as you say, because it is the thing that kind of very clearly says, this is what you need to know.
Yeah. Particularly when you're studying for an exam, you don't want to be studying something you don't necessarily need to know, and it just keeps you on target, really.
Yeah, and it is the most important, it's a very, very important document to use. Do you need a physical copy of that? Probably not. And increasingly, people have now the ability to have digital copies of stuff, and that's quite a natural format for people to be operating in. So, I think for that, which is very much more of a list document anyway, it did seem best that this was probably the format to go with.
The other bit of additional material that can be quite helpful to students or APPs as well is there's now a video, isn't it, to cover the spirit section?
Yes, indeed. Yes, that's all very new, and I'm sure we'll be sort of doing more of that kind of material as we go forward. It kind of came about because of as we were reviewing the course, we wanted to give educators more time in the classroom to be able to do really strong checks on learning. So there was much more of engagement with the students and interaction, rather than feeling that you've got to kind of do a charge to the line to get everything completed. And we also know from the research that we do with our educators and providers, and indeed with the students, that spirits is something that can be quite challenging for people to understand. It is dealing with multiple ingredients, whereas wine is just grapes. There are extra processes involved. You've got distillation after the fermentation. And I think for a lot of people that can be quite a difficult thing to kind of get your head around. So we've produced the video, but it gives educators the option of not doing the presentation in class, and it gives them more time if you were going to stick to the 16 hours in the classroom. And it also gives students more of a time just to watch the video, but then they can dip in and out of it. They can take a little bit more time to understand and get used to some of the ideas and the material that sits behind it. So far, I mean, I was looking at the viewing figures so far, and they've because it's on Vimeo, and we're looking at the viewing figures on the stats that generates, and they've been very strong, and we're pleased in terms of how that's going, and again how it's been received. But if an APP or an educator wants to deliver that session in the classroom, then absolutely go ahead. It's just an extra resource in an area where we know that it's content that can be quite challenging.
Yeah. Is there any other additional resources available? So we've talked about the video, we've talked about the specification, we've talked about the app.
That's the core material that we produce. Obviously, in the workbook, there's some sample questions if people want to kind of practice on those. But there isn't anything else, which we haven't produced kind of anything else for the student. Mm-hmm. And they're the materials that we produce.
We've been working through, and this audio is actually going to form part of a series of audios. Mm-hmm. I've been going around the country, France in particular, but all sorts of regions, talking to various people and trying to put together audios for students to listen to, so that they can maybe as a prep before they do the course or something like that, so they can just listen to people. So, like, for example, last week on the podcast, I did an interview with on Muscadet. Mm-hmm. We did a tasting of a Muscadet, what it's supposed to taste like, what all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we've been working towards creating some materials as well. And I understand there's some other things online as well that people can use. There's a couple of websites that have sort of flashcards.
Yeah. Yeah,
flashcards where people have got course material there, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, flash up, mm-hmm, and all that, mm-hmm, sort of stuff.
I always get slightly nervous when people mention that, because it's not something that we monitor. It's not something that we create or maintain.
And it's certainly now out of date.
Exactly, and many of them do become out of date, and indeed in certain instances have incorrect answers. So these things are created. These things are there, and people are clearly at liberty to do that, but they're not things that we would point students towards. Mm-hmm. I think if you've engaged fully in the classroom sessions, or indeed on the online sessions, which again are interactively based, but if you've engaged in the classroom sessions and you've had a really positive teaching experience, you engage with the material, read through that, there's more than enough in there for you to know, be strong, be comfortable and do well. Trying to sort of go through vast numbers of questions takes you away from the main point of what we're trying to achieve, which is to improve understanding. We don't want people to get too obsessed about the questions themselves, because that can become quite narrowing. Mm-hmm. We want them to enjoy the experience and to get the full range of understanding which we want to deliver in this course, so that when they go out and encounter new things, they have the confidence to look at a label and understand that and understand what different grape varieties taste like. And that's the thing that we want people to take away. The examination for us is a means of assessing that, but it's the understanding and skill which is always the key within education. Do the students go away with that? And that's what we're trying to drive in the session plans, where we're trying to encourage lots of interaction with the student, because that's what kind of really embeds the understanding and knowledge. And then if someone asks you a question, well, you've got the understanding and skill to be able to answer it. You don't need to be kind of terrified by the question, because actually you have the confidence that you know and understand.
Okay. I think we're going to wrap it up there, Nicholas.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, mate.
Good.